just to praise Him together and to worship our Father. Hallelujah. Well, before we go anywhere, this is on my heart to encourage you and admonish you this way. Listen, if anybody has picked up those fears and anxieties from last Saturday when we shredded them till now, how many of you know freedom's available for you right now? Amen. If any of you picked up any picked up that condemnation, still been beating yourself over the head, that's not what God's doing to you. Amen. And you just go back and you listen to that message from last week again, and you just go through it again. Until your mind's renewed, until when the devil comes, you say, no, I don't care. You can show me that picture all you want. I'm not going to receive that. Praise God. God wants you free. Amen? Hallelujah. So stay in freedom. Hallelujah. And the only way you can do that is through the Word. The Word will set you free. So you got to keep renewing your mind to the Word, the Word, the Word. Because the devil's a loud mouth. And he'll show you things and he'll press on you and he'll tell you over and over and over again. But just because he speaks a lot and yaps his mouth a lot and tells a lot of lies doesn't make it any more true. If he says it one time or a million, he's still a liar. Big fat liar. That's what he is. Praise God. So let's praise, begin in the Word tonight. Father, we're just so grateful. So thankful for the opportunity to minister your Word. Lord, I do not count it a light thing. Father, I thank you for help tonight. Lord, I thank you that as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, I'll speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Father, bullseyes will be hit in the hearts of everyone here tonight. And Father, I thank you it'll cause us to go to a new level of glory with you. Father, I thank you that you will have your way in this service. Give us ears to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. We thank you for boldness. We thank you for utterance. We thank you for revelation and impartations. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to share something. You can go to 3 John 2. It's going to be just a quick starting point. But I got my marching orders the last night of the Holy Ghost meetings for tonight's service and tomorrow's service. And I endeavor to be as faithful to the Holy Ghost as possible because He knows best. And so the last night of the Holy Ghost meetings, if you didn't get a chance to listen to them, or even if you did, my pastor taught on a subject, and I do encourage you to go back and listen to those meetings. They were fantastic. Fantastic. Praise God. And I understand not everybody can get to them, but thank God for technology. Don't miss out. Amen. That's the words for us for the upcoming year. But my pastor taught on a subject, and I was directed by the Holy Ghost after he said something in the service. I was directed by the Holy Ghost and what I knew exactly what to preach on this weekend. And what I'm about to share with you going forward will be a great blessing in your life. Because what I'm about to share with you, there's a lot of people that love God, that love to go to church, but really aren't seeing the fruit of abundant life or heaven on earth or, you know, Ephesians 3:20, the exceeding abundant life. And part of the problem is people aren't skillful with the Bible. They're not skillful with the Word. They've not been taught how to work the Word. Brother Hagin said it this way, if you'll work the Word, it'll work for you. If you get thrilled with the Word, it'll work for you. And so this is helping us to be skillful going forward. And it's by designation of the Holy Spirit. I didn't ask to preach this. He just, up from my heart, said, okay, I know I need to share this with the people. People need to hear this. People, it's a revelation that not only changed Brother Hagin's life, who was the foremost prophet in the United States, probably the world when he was alive. It changed the Dufresne's life, who they are knocking it out of the park, you know, Pastor Nancy and heading up ministry. But it's changed your pastor's life. And you got to get these principles in your heart, and you got to pick up the pace where maybe you've slacked off and lagged behind, because God has great blessings for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so before I get into what he shared, I need to lay a groundwork. And I want to just quickly touch on the subject of prosperity. Because the prosperity message is so highly criticized. You hear that word prosperity in church, and I even had messages this week from people from other churches in the area that are telling other people, you know, you're getting caught up in that prosperity church, and they're teaching false things at that prosperity church. Well, that prosperity message is not only highly criticized, it's highly misunderstood, and it no doubt has been abused. by some very high profile people in the body of Christ. That's gotten great attention, but you don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen? And I want to just really quickly, because where we're going tonight, if you get these principles down, it will lead to more prosperity for you. But we have to keep a balance of what prosperity is and what the Bible says about it. In 3 John 2, first of all, is God even interested in prosperity? Well, if He's not, then I don't know what I should do with my Bible. Because 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things." There's a lot He could put in after that. But whatever He's going to put, we know it's priority to Him. It's important to Him because He says, above anything else, I wish this for my kids. That thou mayest prosper. So does God want you prospering? Well, that's what the Word says. Praise God. And then it says in Psalms 35:27. You can go to Psalms 35:27 if you want to, or you just follow along. Psalms 35:27, because we're just laying the groundwork now. And I don't have time to go for a whole lot of places, but the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word be established. Psalms 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yeah, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure and makes him happy, gives him joy, gives him the good feels, right? In the prosperity of his servant. Is God a God of prosperity? Yes. We have an Old Testament example and a New Testament example where he says, I take pleasure in it and I want it above all things. And yet we have people criticizing, you're part of a prosperity church. Well, good thing you are. Because you can't walk into it until you learn it. Amen. It's like the guy that showed up to South Dayton for about, 30 seconds. I need to know something, Pastor, before I come here. Are you one of those prosperity preachers? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, bye, see you later. I said, sayonara. Well, I don't know what to tell you. My God's a God of prosperity. We just saw two places. You don't find in the Word where God says He wants you poor. Where God says He wants you lacking. Where God says He wants you to have less. In fact, He told you in Philippians 4:19, I want all your needs taken care of. Cares. Praise God, He cares. Hallelujah. So, with that being established, without going into too much more, it's important to know the why behind prosperity. Because the people that are criticizing it and are misunderstood, they don't have the why in their mind. Because it was never meant to get you to some selfish place in life. It was never to get you to some high-minded, vain, braggadocious, big-headed type, look at me, lavish lifestyle, brag this, brag that. Wow, I'm so spiritual because I have so much stuff. If that's the way it's being portrayed other places, that is not the way it's being portrayed here, because that's not how the Bible portrays it. The purpose for God's children to prosper is twofold. It's always twofold. Number one, so that the needs of the kingdom or the plan of God can be funded. Churches, missionaries, books, tapes and CDs, TV programs, right? Plane tickets and different things, outreaches and things. Without finances, the kingdom or the plan of God gets stopped. Now you look in the Bible, all throughout the Word, from the Old Testament, the building of the temple, to Jesus' ministry, to Paul's ministry, the way they went forward was when the children of God or the people of God funded the program. Jesus had, the Bible said, women that followed Him around sowing into His ministry. They weren't sinners off the street. David looked to the people. He said, we got to build a temple. Let's do it, everybody. Amen. He didn't... the Apostle Paul, what did he say in Philippians 4? Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the gift. They're sowing into his life. The church was. Why? To go forward. Praise God. That's number one. But number two, the reason for prosperity is to get you money to be able to fund the plan. Which goes along with number one. But you're also his child. He loves you. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all your needs. What does Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He even wants your wants taken care of. Remember what it says in Psalms 34? It says about the young lions suffer and hunger and that. It says, but Well, we should probably just look at it. Psalm 34:10, because it's such a good verse. And we're so close. We're just so close to it. Psalm 34:10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want, shall not want. That sounds like prosperity to me. You know why? Because God wants you prosperous. But why does He want you prosperous? Who's going to pay off the church? Who's going to keep the church going? Who's going to send the missionaries overseas and around the world? Amen. So all the haters, the prosperity, if you're listening, I know we got none of them in here. I stick my tongue out at you and say, because it just isn't biblical and you're deceived. Nobody's preaching from this pulpit. Now, I didn't do that to come against the critics. I could care less what the critics think. And I don't know if they're listening anyways. If they are, they're probably not happy at what I just did to them. Treat them like a five-year-old, you know, just take that, you know. But I need to lay a foundation, because what we're teaching tonight will lead you into more prosperity, and you need more prosperity. Say, no, I'm good with everything I got. No, no, don't be selfish. The kingdom needs you to be more prosperous. People think that it's humility to say, no, I'm good right where I'm at. I don't need anything more. You are selfish. The kingdom needs you to have more. If you don't want it, give it all away then. Amen? I'm serious. Praise God. So let's go into what the Lord wants us to talk about. Now, Pastor Michael, on his last night, Tuesday night, talked about the ministry of angels. And he made mention of something, and when he did, in my spirit, I was like, that's your marching orders. Teach on this. And he made mention of a book by Brother Hagin called How God Taught Me About Prosperity. And that something concerning the angels in that book and about prosperity, well, I knew I was to teach on it tonight. So I'm going to expound on what Pastor Michael said, and I'm telling you what, it's changed my life. It changed Dr. Dufresne's life, Pastor Vance's life. It changed Brother Hagin's life. They're still preaching these truths. I'm still living these truths and reaping the benefits of them. I want you to as well, amen? Praise God. Well, Brother Hagin, before I get into the nitty-gritty of things, years ago, I believe it was in the 50s, got a revelation of how to get the money you need on this earth. And the Lord told Brother Hagin, you're going about it all wrong. Amen? Now, the Lord appeared to him and taught him how to get the money he needs. Now, before, we must stop right there to be safe and balanced. We don't go by other people's revelations. We don't go by other people's visions. We don't go by other people's dreams. We're not led by those things. We're not led by other people's words. No, 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 no. We're led by the Word of God and the confirmation of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will only confirm things that the Word can back up. So, Brother Hagin, when I tell you, he had a revelation to teach it of how to go about things different. If it's really from God, there's going to be verses on it. And that's why I cling so tightly to Brother Hagin, because he was a man of the Word and Spirit. Remember the vision he had where Jesus appeared to him and talked to him about demons and demonic possession? And Jesus said to him, was telling him about this, and a demon came in and stood between him and Jesus. And the demon was saying, yakety, yak, 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 real loud. And Brother Hagin couldn't hear what Jesus was saying, and he was getting frustrated because there's Jesus! What he's saying is probably important. And he's thinking in his head this whole time, why isn't Jesus doing anything about the devil? Why isn't Jesus doing anything about the devil? Why isn't Jesus doing anything about the devil? And Jesus kept talking. And he can't hear what he's saying. He needs to hear what he's saying. And finally, Brother Hagin says that demon, in the name of Jesus, get out, you know, basically get out of here. And the demon ran away cowering and scared. Well, Brother Hagin was shocked. And he talked to Jesus and said, Lord, why didn't you do anything about that devil? I couldn't hear you. I needed to hear what you're saying. And Jesus said, had you not done anything about that demon, I couldn't have. And Brother Hagin, this is why I love the man. He said, Jesus, he said, I didn't know that. That goes against my doctrine. And Jesus said to him, well, son, there's a lot you don't know. And Jesus said, or Brother Hagin said, so you're telling me if I didn't do anything about the demon, you wouldn't have? He said, no, I didn't say I wouldn't. He said, I couldn't do anything about it. And he said, Jesus, I see you, flesh and blood, right in front of me. My eyes can see it. I can reach out and touch you. I can see the holes in the hands and the feet. He said, I know it's you right in front of me. He said, but you're going to have to give me scriptures to back this up. I don't care that I can see you. Can you imagine telling Jesus that? Yeah. saying, Jesus, I know you're here, but I can't just take you at your word. I need scriptures to back that up. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. That's what he told Jesus. And Jesus said, I'll do you one better and give you four. And Jesus proceeded to give him four verses in the Bible that show that God can do nothing about the devil except we do something about the devil. But my point is, when a man like that caliber says he has a revelation from Jesus, it's not going to come without scripture. It's not going to come without the backing up of the Bible. And thank God we have the scriptures on what the Lord showed him. But I've taken these principles in my life, and they've changed the churches. They've changed my personal life. I've been able to preach them to other people, and they've changed their lives. I want you to get this going forward into 2020, okay? Because it's better when your needs are met. It's better for you. It's better for your kids. It's better for your family. It's better for the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, Brother Hagin said this, and we'll read it later, that before you go out and teach a revelation, prove it first. I've proven it over and over hundreds of times in my life, so I don't mind preaching it because I know it's true, and I got Bible to back it up. But before I tell you what the revelation is, I need to get you qualified to receive of this. Isaiah 1:19 says, the willing and obedient lead the good of the land. If you're disobeying God and you're not tithing, and you're disobeying God and you're not giving into offerings, don't expect your finances to change on a revelation when the first revelation he told you was in the Word of God, which said, tithe and give offerings. So this is going to sound all wonderful and, wow, I can increase and, wow, things can be different. Not if you don't first get willing and obedient to at least the basics of the Bible. That qualifies you. Amen? Put you in the plan of God. So I just tell you, all this stuff here that I'm about to say is a moot point? Not mute. Moot. That means nothing then. Because if you're not doing the first, don't expect the greater. Praise God. So here we go. Are you ready? So the Lord appears to Brother Hagin, says, you're doing it all wrong. The way you're going to get the money you need, you're doing it all wrong. And he totally upended his theology and his doctrine. Praise God. Thank God he did. Because Brother Hagin struggled financially, preaching the gospel on the road, pastoring churches, serving God faithfully, and he's struggling financially. Why? He's not skillful. I'm sorry, but your tears in your worship in your car because you love him so much isn't going to pay your bills. Your desperate situation and how desperate it is and how bad you need to turn around is not going to make him do it. You got to be skillful with this stuff. Amen? Praise God, it's true. Don't you just love me? I mean, I'll just tell you the truth. I mean, y'all just love me. I'm just planting those seeds of love in your head. You love your pastor. You love him. Just call those things which be not as though they were. If you don't love me, you'll end up loving me. Praise God. I'll just tell you the truth. It's true. It's not just going to happen because of your tears. Because you need it so bad. No. You got to be skillful with the Bible. So this is what the Lord told him. Told him the steps. And we'll give you steps. You've heard me preach it before, but it's time to pick it back up. Number one, the Lord told him. Again, we'll back it up with verses. He said, stop going about getting money the way you have. You've been praying about it all wrong. What's Brother Hagin doing? Praying, Lord, I need this amount of money. And the Lord said, stop praying about money. Claim the money you need. Number one, claim the money you need. Now, this is what God told Brother Hagin, and it's a true story. He said, I don't know why you're asking me for money. I don't have any money up here to give you. And in fact, he said, I'm not going to rain, I believe it was $20 bills out of the sky. He said, and if I did rain $20 bills out of the sky, I'd be a counterfeiter. Because all the money on the earth is accounted for by the U.S. Treasury or Mint or whatever they do. And if I start making my own money, God's a counterfeiter and he's not a counterfeiter. He said, all the money that you need is already down on the earth. You don't need to ask me for it. I don't have it. You need to find out how to get skillful to get what's already here in your possession. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Luke 6:38. We'll go to Luke instead of lick tonight. Although we're going to give the devil a licking, okay? That's what we're doing. We're giving him a licking. Luke 6:38. Let me show you a principle here, what the Bible says. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God give into your bosom. Shall the Holy Ghost give into your bosom? Shall Jesus give into your bosom? No. Where's your increase going to come from? It's going to change hands. Human hands. So where are the humans on the earth? We need to figure out, how do I get it to change hands on the earth? If men are going to give it to me, how do I get it? How do I get it? Praise God. Well, that's what the Lord told them. Now, part of this, in claiming it, what we don't need to turn there, but we know this church, but we got it up on the wall out there, and the mountain that we recreated out there, Mark 11:23. Therefore I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, thou cast to sea, he'll what? Have what he says. When you're claiming the money you need, all you're doing is acting on Mark 11:23. So when you're facing something, oh man, my car broke down, and they're saying it's going to be $250 to fix it. Don't be an unskillful Christian. Number one, you do what the Lord told Brother Hagin to do back in Scripture. The money's down here already. You take authority and you claim the money you need. I claim, whatever I said, $250. I claim that in the name of Jesus. Are you ready to go number two? This is the one that trips people up the most. Well, maybe the third one does. It's probably mixed. Because they never heard it before, don't know it. Once you claim the money, tell Satan to take his hands off of it. See, why do I have to tell Satan to take his hands off my money? Because Satan has every right to keep his hands on your money. Let me say that again, in case you missed it. The devil has every right to withhold finances from you. Every right to keep you bound. Every right to keep you broke. Every right to keep you in lack. You say, he does? Yes. He does. Go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. I'm going to teach this real quick. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Now, you get this down in your heart, and you start to prove it and watch it work. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world. I know we're well taught around here. I know that you've heard me preach this over and over. But if that was that's not the God that we worship. The God of this world and the God that we worship are not the same people. Well, they're not people at all, but you understand what I mean. They're not the same spirits. They're not the same beings. The God of this world is the devil. Yeah. Satan's the God of this world. Why? It tells us what he's doing. He's blinding people's minds. Well, God certainly isn't blinding people's minds, so they go to hell. Because that's what the devil's blinding people's minds. The God of this world is Satan. Now, how did that happen? Well, without taking a lot of time, because I don't have time to teach this. I teach this when we teach authority. You got to go back to the book of beginnings. Well, what happened in the book of beginnings? God told Adam and Eve, he said, I give you dominion or authority over all the works of my hands. Well, remember what it said over there about in Psalms about the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? And Haggai says, all the cattle, all the gold, all this silver, it's mine. What? The gold, the cattle, the oil in the ground, the natural gas in the ground, things that produce money, the cattle, all those things were already put here by God when he placed Adam in the garden. It was all here. And God said what? I give you authority, not just over the animals, not just over other things. You got to remember, anything on the earth that was a work of God's hand, the oil in the ground, the gas in the ground, the cattle, the gold, the silver, all of it was a work of God's hands that God said, Adam, you are in charge of. But what happened in the garden? Adam gave over authority to the devil. And the devil became what? The God of planet Earth, where the money is, where the increase is. The devil, ladies and gentlemen, is in charge of the economy, the money on planet Earth. It's in his dominion. Why? It's part of God's creation. Adam gave it over to him. Hallelujah. Go to Luke 4. It shows us even more. Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. So you got to get this revelation down. Claim the money you need. Well, Satan's going to laugh at you. But when you, the Christian who has authority over the devil, remember what Luke 10 says? I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Well, don't you think one of the powers of the enemy would be to withhold your blessing? Wouldn't it be one of the powers of the enemy to keep you trapped in bondage of poverty and lack? Absolutely it would. There's not one topic that people talk to me more about than their finances. Not even close. It is so far at number one on the list of what people struggle with in the body of Christ. It shouldn't be that way. Well, the devil is very involved in withholding your blessing. Marriages break up over money. People lose their minds over money. People get hurt over money. They just do horrible things over money. God doesn't want you struggling with finances. But the devil does. Because it messes up so many areas of your life. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 5, this is when Jesus was in the wilderness. And we learn something here. Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. And the devil, taking Jesus up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now think about this. Jesus on a mountaintop. And we know that we're not talking about the best pair of binoculars. All the kingdoms of the world you can't see from a mountaintop. You can by the spirit realm. They can be shown you in a moment's time. In the spirit realm, you can see things that you can't see naturally. And so in a moment's time, he sees all the kingdoms of the world. Well, remember, what is part of the kingdoms of the world? The economy, the monetary system, finances, right? I mean, kingdoms rise and fall whether they're blessed or not. Churches rise and fall whether or not for the money. Money's not a small thing. Devil wants to tell you it's a small thing, but it's not a small thing. So he shows them all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, all this power I'll give you and the glory of them, all that comes with the kingdoms. For that, what? The power and the glory of all these kingdoms is delivered unto me. Well, when was it delivered to him? In the garden. God told Adam, I want you to have the dominion and the power of the glory of all the kingdoms. Adam gave it over by obeying the devil. Now look at this, and he says, and to whomsoever I will give it to you, if you'll fall down and worship me. So, remember, this is a temptation. Jesus says he was tempted. Jesus didn't counter with, you're lying, you don't have it. No, he did have it. That's why it was a temptation. But my point is, who's got control of it? The devil's got control of it. You know what the Lord showed me? And you chew on this any way you want. You know what it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 2 about the devil? It says that he's the prince of the power of the air. I had someone text me something about the media. I don't know if you know or not, but the media is greatly biased. Greatly biased. Not towards godly things, not towards righteous things, things that are promoted in the Word. I mean, they come against. We're made to look crazy. We're made to look unreasonable. It's biased. Well, someone texted me that, and this came up in my heart, Ephesians 2, 2. As why are you surprised? The devil's the prince of the power of the air waves. Oh, yeah. Why do you think, you look at some of the media outlets, and don't tell me it's not obvious that they are not influenced and controlled by the devil. Well, he's the prince of the power of the air waves. Amen. He's in charge down here. It's the truth. Christians got to stand up and be who they are. So, number one, claim the money you need. Number two, you got to get it out of the rightfully owner of it. Well, as a Christian, you're the rightfully owner, but not to use your authority. Right? Okay, so our car broke down. We need $250. Father, in the name of Jesus, I claim $250. Now, Satan, you take your hands off that money in the name of Jesus. Now, when you know your authority, and you know your place in Christ, and you know your position, you know that when you say it, he's got to drop it. Yeah. Just like when Brother Hagin said to that devil, in the name of Jesus, shut up and get out of here. What did the devil do? Flop to the ground and cowered like a little scared little puppy, ran out of there. You don't understand how much authority you have over the devil. How scared he is of you. Why do you think he torments you in your mind so much? Why do you think he goes about to try to devour you through deception? That's the only way he can do it. is suggesting things. He can't just do it. He's not that powerful enough. He's terrified of you. Why, when you start to increase and go further in God, does hell seem to break out? Because he doesn't want you to get to what you were made for and what's ahead for you. He's so afraid of you. That's why, you know, I love when the Lord leads me to teach on authority, because people need to know who they are in Jesus. Because when you know who you are, you won't accept some of the things that come your way. You won't put up with it anymore. Praise God. So, number one, claim the money you need. Number two, tell Satan, take his hands off your money. Why? Because he's got it. Number three, this is what my pastor preached out with angels, and he made a mention of this book. Tell the angels to go and influence the money that you're claiming and telling Satan, take his hands off, to come into your life. What is that, Pastor Mike? It's Bible. It's Bible. So once you tell the devil, take his hands off your money, do you think the devil is going to transfer it to the people that are going to bring it to you? Oh, you told me to drop it. He's dropping it. He just wants it. The second best thing is that it just stays there. We got to get that money in our hands. Got to get that money. Got to get it. It belongs to us. Go to Hebrews 1 and verse 13. Hebrews 1 and verse 13. Hebrews 1 and verse 13. Hallelujah. I double dog dare you to try it. I double dog dare to get this in your heart and work the word. I love it. I love it. Thank God for Brother Hagin. Praise God. What does it say about angels here in verse 13? It says, to which of the angels, so what's the subject? Angels. Which of the angels said he at any time? So he's being facetious here and pointing out, I said, which one of the angels did I ever say this to? Well, the answer is never to any of them. But he's saying, he's pointing something out. I never said this to the angels. Well, what's he talking about? Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Never said that to the angels. You know who he did say that to? Jesus. Yeah. Told Jesus, sit down at my right hand. Where? Far above all principalities. And then he told us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we've been raised with Christ and are seated together. Yeah. He never put an angel in a position that Christ or you are in right now. Never did that. What place is that? The place of authority. What? Your enemy's your footstool. What's that mean? They're under your feet. You're kicking back and putting your feet up on them because they're under your feet. It's a place of authority. He said, I never told the angels that. Go back to verse 13, please. Which of the angels did he say at any time? Because we magnify angels. No, no, no. You don't understand. You are far above the angels. The angels will never be redeemed. The angels will never be in a position that you're in. I'm not belittling them, but they're not like you are. He said, I never made them like that. But I made you that way. And then he goes on and tells what they are. In verse 14, he says, stop magnifying them, but we got to find out in context of who they are. Are they, verse 14, who's the they? The angels. He just said, I'm not going to make them sit at my right hand and their enemies be their footstool. I will do that for you and do that for Christ. But are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for? Not minister to, minister for somebody. Who? Them that shall be heirs of salvation. Any one of you going to be an heir of salvation here tonight? What's an heir of salvation mean? You reap the benefits of salvation. Why? Because you're born again. Never did he tell an angel to sit there. He said, but what I have done for my angels is I've commissioned them. Remember, I used a big word, deployed. In the psych text today, you didn't know I had a vocabulary on me. But I used a word like deployed. Hopefully I used it in the right way, but I think I did. God has commissioned or deployed the angels to do what? Minister for the Christian. Yeah. Praise God. Minister for the Christian. Now, if that makes your little mind spin, we know in the Bible, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, all the devil's stuff, you know. We are well aware, we see it in the Bible, that the devil can influence people on the earth. I'm ringing a little bit up here, Brandy. Do you hear that? You just turn me down just a little. I don't know if it's the monitor or what it is, but don't change anything from sound tonight. My goodness, that's the best I've ever heard it up here. I mean, that reverb actually kind of makes me sound half decent. I am a lover of reverb. Ooh, more reverb, please. Pastor Mike needs it. Man, I was having a hard time. I was about to hack my lung off up there at one point. You heard me. You heard me start to squeak a little bit, but you just kept singing. Thank you for being a blessing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Devil. Now, here's what you have to understand. The devil is not the one going out about doing everything. He's the head honcho, but you know what he has underneath him? Demons. And he commissions this one to go there, and this one to go there, and this one to influence this, and this one to influence this person to come against you. We know people can be demonically influenced. It's all over the Word. Well, if the devil has the power to do that, you think God's going to leave us without a spirit being that can influence for our good? No! Enter the angels. The devil does it through the demons, but God influences people for our behalf through the angels. Amen. They minister for us. How? Going about and influencing. I'm going to give you a couple stories at the end here, but I want to finish what the Lord has on my heart here. Well, Satan, I claim the money. Satan, take your hands off it. The money's there. Well, how do you get the money? Angels, go forth. Remember, we're talking about our car breaking down, $250. Claim it. Satan, take your hands off. Now the money's there. Angels, go forth and influence and cause that money to come to me. Now, will they go? Well, you just said to what? Go get the money that will meet my needs, didn't you? Well, look at what it says in Psalms 103, verse 20. You need to meditate on Hebrews 1, 13 and 14 about how Psalms 103, 20, how the angels are there to minister for you. For you. They're waiting. You know, until I tell the server my order, the server doesn't go put my order in. They stand there, or they leave and come back, and I don't get what I need until I open my mouth and tell the server what I want. Why? They're there to serve me. They're not there to pick something on the menu that you don't say. They're not there to do things on their own. They're there to serve the customer. Angels are waiting for the call. God's deployed them. They're there for you. What are you going to do with them? Well, Psalms 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you His angels that excel in strength. Ooh, I'm glad they're strong. That do His commandments. What's that, the Word? Hearkening to the voice of His Word. Hearkening to only the voice of God. Nope, that's not what it says. You know how you get the angels moving? By the Word of God. The angels are bound to do what the Word says. So when you tell the angels to go get your money that you need, that's Philippians 4:19. They have to do it. If you believe it and earn faith, they have to do it. Praise God. That's what it says. That's what it says. Number one, claim the money you need. Number two, tell Satan, take your hands off. Now, you won't get this in your heart by just hearing me preach. Oh, I'm just going to go do this and preach this revelation because Pastor Mike preached it. No, I don't just say it out of Brother Hagin's revelation. I got it in my heart before I used it. And when I used it, I was full of faith. I just wasn't repeating, being an echo of somebody else. A lot of people are echoes. You need to get it in your heart, and then it'll work for you. Praise God. Because faith starts in the heart. Number one, claim it. Number two, tell Satan to take his hands off it. Number three, tell the angels to go and influence the money to come. And number four, this is quick. After you do that, Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer by praying the same prayer over and over again. No. Colossians 4 and verse 2 says, continue in prayer with thanksgiving. When you think of it from here on out, number one, claim. Number two, tell Satan to take his hands off. Number three, commission the angels. Number four, when you think about it, it comes to your mind. Just thank God. Father, I thank you it's on its way. Father, I thank you it's on its way. You have to do it over and over again. Once is enough. Just thank Him for it. Thanking Him for it will keep your attention on Him and keep your faith going. Amen? Praise God. Now, I want to read to you, because Brother Hagin said before he got the revelation, before he preached it, he proved it. I want to read to you from the book, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. So get your blankies out. Story time with Pastor Mike. Aren't you glad? I'm going to tell you a story about Brother Hagin. I'm going to tell you a story about Dr. Dufresne working for him, and then I'm going to tell you about your pastor, and then we'll close. But Brother Hagin, who got the revelation, so I'm going to take a little bit of time and read a few pages here. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I will never forget it. The Lord said all this to me, the revelation I just preached to you, in the bedroom of the parsonage where I was praying. If you receive a revelation from God, prove it out first before you start preaching or teaching it. Don't proclaim it until you prove that it's in line with the Word and with experience. That's what I did with this controversial revelation concerning finances. He said, I left the pastor, just walked over to the church. My knees were actually shaking. I didn't know for sure if this would work or not. Now, he's at a parsonage of a church not that he's pastoring, but that he's staying at with that family of the pastors that he's at the church that he's ministering at. He says, my knees were shaking. I didn't know for sure if this would work or not. This was all new to me. I had never heard anybody say anything like it, yet I could see it because I had scripture for it. I remember standing on the platform in the empty church and picturing that little crowd of about 70. In fear and trembling, I said aloud, I claim 150 this week. Then I got pretty bold and said, Satan, take your hands off my money. Then I imagined I could see all those ministering spirits there, and I said, go, ministering spirits, cause the money to come. I knew enough about faith to know that that settled it. There was no use repeating it, so I walked out of the church back to my room. The Lord had told me to pray that way. I claimed 150 a week because I had figured up my budget for necessities to keep my family at home and me on the road, and it came to 150 a week. That barely got us by. I hadn't included one extra thing in that sum, not so much as a soft drink or a stick of chewing gum for myself. He says, I wasn't scraping the bottom of the barrel. I was under the barrel, and the barrel was on top of me. Did you notice, he said, that you have more problems in the area of finances than any other? So the devil will fight you harder here because he has more leverage in this area. Money is in the world, and he is the god of this world. Number one thing people struggle with finances. Why? It's where the devil has the most leverage. The church where I was holding the meeting was down in the oil fields of East Texas. Those oil fields were past their heyday. I had preached there 13 months earlier while I was still pastoring my last church, and they paid me $114 for 2 weeks. They thought that was big. Now he needs 150 for 1 week at the same church. I knew that if I suggested to the pastor that I was believing for $100 a week, he would say, it would take God to do that. And if I suggested I was believing for 150 a week, he would say, God himself couldn't do that. Besides that, that pastor had pleaded with the people for 45 minutes, who will give 10, who will give 5, to get me $57 a week before. The pastor's up trying to pull for money to get the minister blessed. And now he's believing for 150, and he only got 114 in 2 weeks. That night I said to the pastor, don't make any special pull for money like he did the year before. Who will give 5? Who will give 10? Pass the plate and simply say, this is Brother Hagin's offering. Say as little about it as you can. The pastor said, well, Brother Hagin, it is our custom to take up a pledge offering. He protested. Full gospel churches, he says in parentheses, won't change their customs. They would rather give up Jesus than change customs. Don't be a person that holds to your customs. It's the word. People all over the world are holding to their customs. I can show people things in the Bible that are so against their customs, but they're so ingrained in them in tradition, they won't give them up. He said, well, I said, don't take up a pledge offering, just pass the plate. But Brother Hagin, you won't get anything. If I do that, you won't even get a quarter. I replied, if I just get a quarter, you'll never hear me gripe about it. I'll just go my way with a quarter and I'll know that I missed it. I want to prove something. You just do what I tell you to do. Just pass the plate. I got this revelation about the middle of the week. On Friday, the pastor asked me to stay longer because the meeting was going so well. I could only stay through next Wednesday night, however, because I had to go to another meeting in Alabama. I went back to the Lord and changed my request from 150 to 200. That's what he needed. God's not moved by your needs. He's not tripped up by them. When Wednesday night came, the pastor handed me $240.15. $40.15 more than he released his faith for. Why? God is more than enough. He said, the pastor said, that beats anything I've ever seen. I don't know where in the world the money came from. Brother Hagin replied, I understand it thoroughly. He said, I tested this revelation to get at my next meeting, claiming 150 a week, counted 45 people in the morning worship service, including the pastors, family, and myself. At the end of 3 weeks, I was given $750 plus a new set of tires for the used car I just bought. Now remember, if you read his stories, before this revelation, he's at the bottom, under the barrel, struggling, gets a revelation, puts it to play, bam, things start happening. Wow, the word works. It works. From then on, I purposely went to small country churches, even though I could have gone to bigger city churches. I'd get so much money, they'd be astounded. God's word works. It took all the faith I had in 1950, that was 1950, to believe for that 150. After feeding my faith in the word of God and exercising it for the past 30 years, I can now believe God as easily for 1 million as I could for 150. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know what number I'm at, but I'll tell you what, back when I first started this, to believe God for 100 bucks would might as well have been believing for $2 million for me. And now we're dealing in hundreds of thousands for buildings, and it doesn't even trip me up. The only reason, feeding my faith on the word of God, getting a revelation of how big God is. The bigger God is to you, the smaller your problem will look. The smaller the opposition will look. So what do you got to do? Work on getting God really, really big in your life. Amen. Well, that was Brother Hagin. Now listen to Dr. Dufresne. I love this story. Oh, I love this story. We're almost done. Dr. Dufresne, when he used to pastor, had a building that he had leased from a gentleman, a businessman. And $120,000 was due on a certain date to keep the lease going. Some of you have heard this already, but it just builds my faith, especially for what we're talking about. And the owner of the building actually wanted him to default on the contract because since he had signed that deal, the property value had risen greatly. So he wants him to default on it so then he can take the building back and sell it and get more money. But he's got a contract, and if Dr. Dufresne can pay him the allotted amount of money, or the set amount of money, he gets to keep the building. Well, he needs $120,000 to keep that building. Dr. Dufresne, at the time, had $10,000, as the time's getting closer, weeks away, has $10,000 in their building account. Well, $10,000 is not going to do anything when you need 120. So you know, this just speaks to the man, but it talks about sowing too. See, the angels can't do this if you're in disobedience. That's what I said at the beginning, tithes and offerings. And yeah, that's good, Lord, because see, when you give, the harvest comes, but the harvest has to be brought to you. So when you give, it causes the harvest to come forward, but the harvest comes forward, but somebody still has to give it to you because it comes through men's hands. And they don't work off disobedience. He sowed 10 grand to a fellow pastor in town who was bad-mouthing him. Came against him. So you know what Dr. Frayne did? Gave him 10 grand towards his building fund. It shut that guy up. Never talked bad about him again. Praise God. Sowed a seed into his building program. Just that's what the love of God does. It'll compel you to do things to people that don't deserve it. Praise God. Well, the time's ticking, getting down. And in the course of time, I don't know the exact time frame on this. It really isn't that important. Dr. Dufresne was in his hotel room. And he heard the door of the hotel door open up in his bedroom. And he thought, oh, the front desk must have messed it up and give somebody the keys to my room. And it was two angels that walked in. Weren't people. And they stood in front of him and they said, I'm here to straighten out your finances. So he told Dr. Dufresne. So what did Dr. Dufresne do? Sent the angel out. Said, go straighten it out. Okay, angels listened to his word. He didn't go. The angel didn't go until Dr. Dufresne said, go straighten out my finances. This is a true story. Well, the time's getting closer, and they're just a weeks away from having that $120,000. Got no money in the account, no natural way. And a bunch of businessmen, 100 businessmen in the church, come forward and say, we'll give the church $1,000 if we can all have, or $1,200 if we can all have stake in the church. Wrong heart. Why wouldn't 100 businessmen just give $1,200 to their church? What in the world? And of course, that was the only way. And the brother, Dr. Dufresne thought, I got to take this. And the Holy Ghost said, you're having trouble with one landlord. Why do you want 100? He said, don't take the money that way. And you know how tempting it would have been to take the money? Amen. You know how tempting it was when they told me that we needed a $100,000 sprinkler system to just not go natural route ways to get that money? But the Holy Ghost said, you don't need to believe for that money. You're not going to have to put a sprinkler system in. But I'll tell you, the temptation was there. How tempting would it have been? It's not the way he wanted the money, but at least it would keep the church going. The Holy Ghost said, no, don't do it. Well, Dr. Dufresne was, I can't remember exactly where he was, but he's with his lawyer. And a gentleman came in and requested to see Dr. Dufresne. And Dr. Dufresne didn't know what it was about and told the lawyer, just handle this. I don't want to deal with this right now. The lawyer came back after talk and said, no, you need to go talk to this guy. So he goes and talks to this guy, and this is how the guy starts the conversation. He says, I know who you are, Dr. Dufresne. He says, first of all, I need to let you know I don't even like you. I don't like how you preach. You make me nervous walking around the way you do. You're bold. I don't like how you preach. He said, but I've had two men in my room. And I've come to give you, and he gave him a check for $120,000. He said, I've come to obey God. Well, what happened? The angels went out, caused the money to come. But how did the angels get the money to come? By influencing the same way the devil influenced. You need people to influence to give you the promotion. You need people to influence to give you the blessing. You need people to influence to give you the job over all the other candidates. How did Pastor Mike, with no education, going against bachelor's and master's degrees, it says it in the newspaper, this is what's required. How do I get a job with no education, quit 26 jobs in 2 years before that, and they say, for some reason, we want you. It's called angelic divine influence. Amen. I'll take that kind of favor any day. So then they get the money. The building's gone. They paid it. Well, Dr. Dufresne has a guest minister into his church. And the guest minister starts to get into ministry apart from the preaching. And he sees a gentleman in the back. And he says, sir, you need to come forward and obey God. Well, Dr. Dufresne, being the preacher, is like, who's he talking about? He looks back and sees it's the businessman that gave him $120,000. And Dr. Dufresne's saying to the minister, no, you don't understand. He already did. He already did. And so he's trying to influence the minister. The minister's hearing from heaven, command that guy to come forward and obey God. And Dr. Dufresne said, no, he did. He gave $120,000. He's good. He's off the hook. And the minister knew. He said, no, I'm telling you he needs to come forward and obey God. So the guy comes forward and he says, now obey God in the name of Jesus. And the guy says to him, the guy gave him $120,000. He said, I'm here to pay off the rest of the balance on your building because the two guys are back in my room. So, pays them off. Praise God. And Dr. Dufresne went to the Lord and said, now, Father, I wasn't believing you for the payoff. I was believing you for the 120, but I wasn't believing you for the payoff. Why did that happen? And the Lord said to him, because you didn't compromise and you obeyed my voice. When I told you not to take the money from the men, you didn't sell out. And because of that blessing, you did it my way. Everything. When you do it God's way. I know we stumble. I know we trip and fall at times. But get back into doing it God's way. It's the best. It's the most supernatural. And think of that blessing. Wow. Now, to close. I mean, Brother Hagin, Dr. Dufresne, we're going to finish it off with a heavy hitter. Pastor Mike Anderson. I told you one story, you know, where the angelic help. Say, how do you know that was it? Because that job that I got catapulted me into a new place financially, and I needed to be in a new place financially, and I walked through these principles. It wasn't in the form of, see, we got to be careful and understand how prosperity shows up. Pastor Nancy said this, I'll never forget it. Prosperity comes dressed up in overalls. See, a lot of people just want checks in the mail. That hardly ever happens to people. Just a check shows up for no good reason. But opportunities will. And blessings will. And divine wisdom and favor will. And I had released my faith. I went through these steps. I said, Father, this I need to get here in what I get every month, every week. So I went through the steps. Satan, I claim this amount of money and a paycheck. Take your hands off it, Satan. Angels go forth. Well, they're calling me in saying, we don't know why, but it's you. You know how Pastor Mike got through $2,000 a month short every month for 2 years? Every single month, starting the month saying, This is what I need. I claim it in the name of Jesus. Now, angels or devil, take your hands off it. Loose it and let it go. And I usually throw in something like, you defeated loser, or you worthless defeated devil. I just like to just poke and prod a little bit. I do. I'm just telling you. I'm just being real. That's what I do. I have those kind of talks. I tell you, you just pull up the thing of popcorn, you hear me praying to God and talking to the devil, just be good entertainment for you. I'm just real. I'm just myself. And he loves me for it. It's true. And I did every month, and every month it worked. Money for the church, money for my personal life. When things went south, how did I get it? Going through these steps. I proved it over and over and over again. I first got it in my heart. Then I worked it, and now I preach it. Because I'm telling you, it is foolproof. Oh, how that would change your life. You need a job, you need a car, you need new clothes, you need more money, you need this. You got your recipe of how to do it. Amen? Don't just go out and start spouting off the steps. Get it in your heart to where you know, oh, I know why. If I say it, it's going to come to pass. When I tell the devil to take his hands off my money, I know he's dropping that money. When I tell the angels to go, I picture them like Brother Hagin did, leaving my side and going out talking to people, influencing people to bless me. That's why I say I'm a money magnet. Because the angels are bringing it to me. Praise God. Well, were you blessed tonight? I was. I'm so blessed. I can't wait to preach this tomorrow. You ought to just get on live stream. If you're not coming to service, just listen to it again. It'll be just as good. Glory to God. Father, we worship you tonight. We praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your mercy in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for helping us. Thank you for blessing us tonight, Lord. This was a word in season from you, Father. We praise and bless your holy name. We thank you for all that you've done for us, for all that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to struggle. We thank you we don't have to wallow and waddle and wade around in poverty and lack. But Lord, you've given us instructions, skillful instructions, of how to go forth to be a doer of your word. Father, I pray that everybody under the sound of my voice would get this revelation in their heart. That this wouldn't be the only time they visit this and just take this without getting it inside them and just go out and try to use whatever, but they would get it in their spirits. And faith would flow from them. Authority would flow from them. And Father, we thank you for a turnaround financially. We thank you for increase because, Lord, your plan and your purposes will not be accomplished until your people are prospering and receiving the way that you have for them. So we thank you. Let's thank him for increase right now. Just thank him for increase. Tell him that 2020 is going to be different because you know something different now. 2020 is going to be different, praise God. More increase. More favor. More blessings. More divine ideas. More unexpected things happening. It's coming. 2020 is different in Jesus' name. Glory to God. We praise you tonight. Now, as I look around the room, I know there's not anybody here that needs to receive Jesus the very first time. But if there's somebody listening online right now and you've not received Jesus as your Savior, He's the way to heaven. And you have to go through Him. You have to do what the Bible says. You have to receive Him. You must believe Him. Believe in Him. John 3:16 says, for whoever believes will not perish. So if you're listening and you've not been saved and you want to get saved, born again, go to heaven, John 3:16 is your answer. Romans 10:13 is your answer. Call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Just simply say to Him, Father, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that He rose again, and I ask Him to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. If you'll pray that prayer, let me know. We'll get you plugged into a church like this that teaches you how to be skillful and successful in this life. Would you all stand to your feet with me and begin to just praise Him with me? We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Now, the Holy Ghost just said this to me up from my heart. I try to be led about this. You have better results that way. That God wants to heal bodies tonight. If you're sick in body, come forward and just stand up right with your feet right to the front, side by side, with your feet to the front of the edge of the pulpit here, and we're going to believe for healing, praise God. There's an anointing here for it. You say, well, is it big stuff, little stuff? If you're going through something in your body, get rid of it, praise God. Amen. Headaches, migraines, you know, can't sleep, having trouble seeing, whatever it is, let's get rid of that, praise God. Hallelujah. The anointing will destroy the yoke.
Amen.
Praise His name forevermore. Father, we thank You. Yeah, I'm reminded of that, Father. Pastor Michael had me lay my hands out on Tuesday night, I believe it was. He said he saw Pastor Tim and I, and all the other ministers got it, but he said he saw us. And He laid hands on us and imparted impartations or equipment that we will need, and this is part of it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, just hook your faith up with mine. Father, in the name of Jesus, be free.
Hallelujah.
Top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Power of God in her. In the name of Jesus, Patty, be free from head to toe. Head to toe. We command it to go. Sickness cannot stay to the name of Jesus. I'm reminded, and I'll say this before, in Matthew chapter 8, the centurion said, Jesus, You don't need to go. Just speak the word. What was he saying? I understand authority. And Jesus, You have authority over sickness. The name of Jesus has authority over sickness. In the name of Jesus, from top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command that power to go in and drive out all sickness, all disease. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command healing from the top of her head. Just receive that. Close your mind off and just thank Him for it. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we command that to leave her body now. There it went, right there. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank You for healing her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Now, Your job up here is to just receive it and to thank Him for it. Say, I don't feel any different. That's okay. It's not about feeling. In the name of Jesus, Father, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command sickness and disease to leave her body. It's trespassing. It's not okay there. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be free, Linda. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We thank You for the power of God hitting her. Glory to God. Now let's just thank Him. If you had hands laid on you, just thank Him. You might not feel it now. You might not see it now. But that's not an indicator if it's working. Faith is an indicator that it's working. Father, we praise You. We magnify You. We glorify You. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your love. We say the power of God's working in us for a change, for a cure. It's working, it's working, it's working. And just because it doesn't come automatically all at once, that's okay. Jesus, the second miracle He ever did was with the nobleman's son. And the Bible says from that point on, the son began to amend or get better. And that was a miracle Jesus was involved in. They still call it a miracle. We thank You, Lord. Tonight's the beginning of being free in our body. We praise You and magnify You. We love You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, no Tuesday this week, but we will have it next week. You are dismissed.